I haven't given a message for 2 years. And I've really enjoyed it because I've traveled all over the country and quite a few other countries. And I've always said I long for the day when we no longer need an individual speaker. Because I've always wanted to just be a part of a group like this that just loves God and shares with one another. Now, that's not saying there is a place to have. When I pastored a church, I taught them this. There are two kinds of services. There's a church meeting where when the church gets together, the church shares. And it's not just an individual speaker, but it's the church that shares with one another.
Yeah.
But then there's also what we call a training meeting where you'll have a teacher or a particular person share an inspired message to encourage, you know, the congregation. But my preference is the meetings like we have. I thought it was interesting, too, when we were talking about the name of Jesus this morning, because in my many travels, I taught at a white supremacist church one time. And they told me right away, Gary, don't mention the name of Jesus, because you'll upset the people here, because we know his real name is Yeshua. And I told the pastor, I said, man, I don't know if I'll do my best, but I've been talking about Jesus all my life. So I'll do the best I can. So anyway, I made it through that. I think I did say Jesus once or twice, but then I corrected myself and said Yeshua. Okay. Then I was with another group, and they said, we speak the real name of Jesus. And it's not Yeshua, it's Yahashua. You got to put an H in there. And you know, that reminds me, I forget the exact amount, but something like 30,000 different denominations, free groups, that all read the same Bible, worship the same God, yet can't get along with one another. That's why I chose the subject for my message this morning, is loving God and loving one another. Remind you of what Corinthians 13 says. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm nothing. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, and even give my body to be burned, if I have love, I have nothing. Yet all of these different groups that all hold on to their favorite doctrines, very few really have and even understand divine love. I want to read to you one of my favorite verses out of the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. We all have an expected end, and many of us don't even believe we're worthy to even have God's love. But yet, in the divine plan, we are all destined to one day fully enjoy and manifest divine love. One of the questions that some people ask is, who or what is God? I can safely say that you'll never know. you will never know and be able to describe God to anybody's satisfaction. Can't do it. Some say there is no God. I've got really dear friends who emphatically swear there's no God. There is no God. Well, I don't like to contradict anybody, but I will say this, I know God. I know God in the depths of my being. I know a God who has guided me since a child. I know a God who awoke me on July 11th, 1982, to what we would call being born again or a new birth. And I had known God and followed after God and prayed for God for 13 years. But I woke up one morning to the experience of what most Christians say they already are, because that's what we've been taught. We're born again. Some people who believe in God say, well, God is love. But there is a love without God. I'll get into that later, maybe. But God is not just love. God is all there is. There is nothing outside of God. Some people believe and they think a lot of untruths about God. People believe, sincerely believe, damaging doctrines that keep them from knowing and understanding divine love. And one of those teachings that hundreds believe, and again, I have friends that believe this, that you don't have a free will. I think that started predominantly with Calvin, that said man does not have a free will. God has everything planned out. And he planned for so many to be saved and then for the rest to go to hell. I'm glad I'm not a Baptist, because when I was young, I would have believed with all my heart, I would have believed I was one of those he destined for hell, because I couldn't be good. No matter how hard I tried. And if we truly don't have a free will, why would we even seek for more truth? Why would we seek for more God? If everything, I do believe in predestination. We're all predestined to one day have our desires and our dreams and our hopes fulfilled in the fullness of God. One of the most damaging beliefs you can have is that God sacrificed his son so that you could have life. I had somebody ask me one day, what did you do so bad that caused God to have to sacrifice his son so you could live? If you believe in a God that would kill someone, even an animal, so you could live, you don't know God. I can promise you, you don't. You can still love God, and you can still, to some extent, experience God's love, because I did. And I believed, and I taught for years, that God sacrificed his son so that I could live. But I didn't really know God. I wanted to. I used to go out in the desert every morning and cry and pray to know God. And then we're told that Abraham required Isaac to sacrifice his son. What kind of a God would that be? So how do I get to know God's love? Listen to what Jesus said, or Yahshua, or Yahshua, however you want to say it. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there go in that way, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life. Listen, few there be that find it. I don't think you would probably find a Christian today who would not agree with this verse and think that they're on the narrow way.
Right.
Yet there are untold thousands of Christians sitting in churches right today who are not walking the narrow way. And it's the easiest and the simplest thing you'll ever do when you discover the truth of how to walk in the narrow way. He also said in Matthew 7:21, not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? We know. A lot of people think, well, he's talking about when I die, I won't go to heaven. No. He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. But you can't enter that kingdom that is within you without doing the will of the Father. And again, I have to say, it is so simple. We make it so hard. Another thing that hinders us from discovering the kingdom within and walking in it is our belief in a book. You can't know God through a book. Another big mistake, we were taught that the Bible is the Word of God. That's a horrible mistake, because if you believe that, then you have to accept a God who does ethnic cleansing, who kills all of his enemies, who kills men, women, children, cattle, kills everything in sight that doesn't agree with him.
He takes young virgins as
Yeah.
sex slaves.
If we have a God like that, we're in a lot of trouble. You can't know God through a book. The book can guide you and help you. I absolutely love the Bible. In fact, Carol can tell you that I used to quote books of the Bible from memory. But it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is that which He speaks in your heart. Ezekiel, I think it's 36:26, says, I will take your stony heart and turn it into flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. So the word is written on our heart. Paul told his followers that they were a living book that he was writing on their heart. You can get to know God by loving your neighbor as yourself. In fact, that's probably one of the only ways. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You can't even do that in the natural. But if you love God and you love one another, that will be your entrance into the kingdom within.
Right.
It's simple, but it's not so easy. I'll give you an example in my own life of the difference between a natural love and a divine love. In my young life, I've always been a good person. Never got into trouble. Never tried drugs, or always run around with Christian friends. And I was very giving. I've always been very giving. And in the early 70s, I was living in Saugus, California. And I had a neighbor who had a wife and some children. He got out of work. And I practically supported and fed his family for, I don't know, for quite a while to help them out. And this is before I even had experienced God. I was just, that's just the way I was. If somebody needed help, I'd help them. But one day he was having a garage sale, and he had a canvas tarp that I'd been wanting to get one. I had something, I don't remember what it was, that I needed to put a tarp over. So I asked him how much he wanted for the tarp, and he gave me the most ridiculous price. He wanted to charge me for that tarp. And I got so angry. And I thought, how can he do that after all I've done for them? How can, see, that's the result of natural love. You'll be loving until somebody does you wrong, and then that love turns to anger, turns to bitterness, turns to unforgiveness. Now here's here's divine love. And I experience this almost every day. As most of you know, several years ago, there was several of the, what we call the top kingdom ministries in the States come against me and started telling people I was New Age and I was this and that, trying to stop my ministry. And the only feeling I had, and Carol can tell you this, the only feeling that I had is, Lord, how can I help them? I had no feelings of anger. I had no feelings of, I just said, God, they just don't understand. That's the difference between divine love and natural love. Today you can do anything you want to do to me. And my only reaction is, I will pray for a way to help you understand divine love. That's why I can't imagine people today that believe that Jesus or God would kill anybody. The finest example we have of divine love is Jesus on the cross being beaten and torn and spat upon for him to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It's amazing. There's so much love available. And like I say, it's simple to follow the law of love. And I can't even tell you how to do it. I wish I could. I used to cry when I pastored a church because sometimes on Sunday morning, when I'd get with the Lord before the service, and I would just weep because I had such a wonderful life being a Christian, yet I didn't know how to give it to anybody. I didn't know how to explain it. But this is where free will comes in. You have a choice. Every time someone acts contrary or does something that you don't like or that is against you, you have a choice. You can get angry, you can get upset, or you can turn to the Father and ask for the divine love to replace that anger or that resentment. There's so many ways that we can actually walk in divine love. But Christians are so confused. You know, the big thing against gays comes to mind, where most Christians will not have anything to do with somebody who is gay. And I've even cried over that one, because love is love. Love coming from your heart is love. And it's not discriminatory about who you can or who you shouldn't love. people walking into Vine 11 would be no such thing as a race discrimination. We wouldn't even think about such a thing. Another big thing is war. My God, we send our young men into war, and then we pray for God to bless us while we kill our enemies. And we should be weeping over our enemies and praying for their release from the bondages that they're in. I would never, under any circumstances, go to war. Neither would I kill somebody, even if they were going to kill me first. I couldn't do it. It's impossible for me to take another life. They could take mine, but I couldn't defend myself. If somebody ever attacks me physically, I can't say what I would do, but I hope I wouldn't respond. Love is the answer to everything that we desire. The answer is always love. You can even, get to know God somewhat by observing nature. Even the scripture tells you that. If you just observe nature. And I love animals. When I worked for NASA, I worked out in the desert in a hangar. And I was there for 6 years. So it took me probably a year or so, but I used to go out, take a chair out in the desert every day, and I'd feed the squirrels. And after I did that a few months, I'd go out and set my chair in the desert, and I'd just whistle, like you whistle for a dog. And man, they'd come from all directions, run up my legs, get in my pockets to find nuts. Even animals respond to love. I'm trying to think of Sadhu Sundar Singh. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he was a man in India. And he was so full of God's love and peace that he could walk out into the jungle and pet lions and tigers. And there's no animals that were ever afraid or attack him. That's what divine love does. One of the things I did, I used to pray daily for the truth. God, show me the truth. Because whatever I have to do, I'll do it. Just show me the truth. And you know what the scripture says, the truth will set you free. And how many today think they know the truth? I often think of like I said earlier, all the people that are sitting in the different churches today, all thinking they're serving God, thinking they're in the narrow way. Yet how many of them can pray for their enemies? How many can love their neighbor as they love themselves? The biggest problem with that is loving yourself. Most Christians don't love themselves. And I can promise you, until you understand and love yourself, you cannot love your neighbor as yourself. Because you don't love yourself. And that's one of the things I discovered on July 11th, 1982, when I awoke as a new person. There was such an overwhelming love took place within me. Someday, that divine love will be perfected in all of us. And you know what? When that happens, you know what will happen? People talk. Today, a lot of preachers, a lot of people say they're never going to die. I can promise you, if you ever get into the fullness of divine love, you will never die. You will never get sick. And there's a reason we do get sick. There's a reason, you know, these things happen. Sometime I'll go into detail about why those things happen. But even the things that happen, like I'm going through right now, you know, trying to overcome the stroke and the dizziness, I can promise you, all things work together for good. But if we ever get completely full of divine love, you will never know again what it's like to be sick or to be depressed. I haven't known depression for probably 40 years, since 1982. And I used to be manic depressed a lot. I've stayed in bed with my head covered up, so depressed that I wouldn't even go to work. And my depression was caused from trying to be a good Christian. That's what caused my depression. But when the Lord opened my understanding and I began to look deep within my heart, I found the most beautiful, magnificent, elegant substance of life that began to blossom and open me, just like a flower opens on a sunny morning. And as I've said so many times before, never since that day, in 1982, since that day, I have never, ever had to try to be good or to be a Christian. And it wasn't long after that till I met Carol. We were married in 1983. And that's been the biggest blessing in my life. Carol is my strength. I have never known a more loving and caring person than Carol. If people only knew the blessings of walking in divine love, we would all be there. Another thing that will get you into the experience of divine love is humility. People used to caution me all the time, because our ministry has been so successful. We used to ship 4,000 books and 1,000 tapes every month to 70 countries of the world. And because I was so successful, people used to caution me, "Gary, be careful, don't become proud." And I said, if you ever really know God and He begins to work through you, you can be proud.
That's right.
All you can be is thankful and grateful. That there's such a beautiful essence of His life that is operating in you. You'll spend your life not begging and crying and asking for things, but you'll spend your life in gratitude and thankfulness, appreciation for all that God is, not in the heavens, but from within. Anyway, that's enough for today.